Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session from May City Council for Monday, September 10th, 2012. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Glover. I think he's running a little bit late. So the first item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular council meeting agenda. Okay, we're on page 2, items 3A through 3C. Okay. Items 3D through 4B. Items 4C through 4E. Items 4F through 4H. Okay. Items 4I and 4J. Items 4K and 4L. Councilmember Higgins.
Thanks, Mayor. I had a question on the JLC, and you might have gone over it in more detail more recently, but my question is about, I guess, just basic how things work. So our contractor, when they have a job, we're going to say what we need done, is my guess, and they can either go out and get bids or use some kind of formula of some kind of book to find the bid, and then they and another to add on, any of that process is all open, I'm assuming, that at any time if you go say, hey, I want to see those things, can you show me what it would cost? Can you explain that background? Because I get the big overseeing person, but I don't know how they do it and if we care how they do it.
Mayor and Council, yes, there's a couple of different ways that were foreseen in the invitation for people to submit on this project. There are two ways to do the cost estimating. One would be using a price book component, and we had those on the finalists do an exercise with the price book component, and they provided us with a multiplier for the price book component. The second means that we foresaw in the contract and have included is if they can go out, we can ask of them to go out and get bids on the various works and the items in the project and come back to us with 3 to 5 qualified bidders, go out and involve local subcontractors in that work, and have them come to the table with the multiplier on top of it. So there are a couple of different ways. And then if we don't like that, we can always choose to say, okay, we're not going to do this JOC, we're going to low bid it.
Okay.
And we also have another selection process we do annually, which is annual contracts for architects and engineers of various different categories. I think we have like 10 different categories of contracts. We go out, solicit once a year, and set those contracts up with various firms we have on call and can bring in to do the design services.
So I had one other follow-up to that. So at any point, everything that happens under the job order, is that job order contract, I'm getting the JOC confused, is all open book.
Yes.
All the time. And if you don't like it, then...
And we have the right to audit those contracts.
Okay. So what it does for us is does this just keep it in engineering with, like, technical specs and out of purchasing. So and not that we want to eliminate it, but to make it more streamlined because you did the specs, you know what...
Yes. Okay. One of the primary reasons we want to do it is to streamline the process and to take away the time component of having to design and bid individually each one of these small contracts.
So it shifts the bidding to the contract.
To the general contract.
And yet you still have oversight and you know,
yes,
kind of, great. That helps a lot because it was, I don't know, it was a little, it's complicated.
It is
so
complicated.
I appreciate.
I do.
Thank you.
We're basically privatizing that process.
For
those who really like privatization in government, we're basically privatizing.
In a way.
Because the choice is we either do this on an overall basis and have the general contractor who does this perform those functions, or we do each job individually in-house. And what we're saying is that there are efficiencies to be gained,
yes,
cost savings to be gained by shifting that to the private sector. We still maintain oversight.
Yes.
We still maintain quality control. We still maintain that type of thing.
Yes,
what we don't do is we don't process each individual one separately.
Yes.
And we get the added benefit, if I'm understanding you correctly, in many ways it really does open up for smaller contractors because they're at a really at a distinct disadvantage because of bonding and other things. Now, on some jobs, whereas this, because it's a piecemeal type of thing and it's underneath a large general contractor, it could, not guaranteed, it could open up opportunities for smaller types of construction companies,
and
right?
Yes, it could. And the contractors we have on the agenda tonight have committed to having some local workshops here in Mesa, so doing an outreach program similar to what we just did on the Cubs. They would set up a public meeting and have local firms that are interested in doing work on these contracts come in and meet with them and get their names and their information on a list.
Yeah, because I think some people, when they look at us hiring local, they're unaware of the complexities that we present when it relates to bonding abilities, insurance, and those kind of things. That not while we're not waiving those, when a general comes in and gets a blanket type coverage, it makes it more easily for small companies who may not be able to bring those financial resources to the table to meet a city requirement on their own. And sometimes these are state requirements. But if they do it in combination with the general contractor, they can much more readily meet those requirements. Is that accurate?
Yes, and the general also provides scheduling and it gets the work scheduled so that the different subs can come in at different times, still meet our time frames, and get the project completed in a timely fashion.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, it's awesome.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. 4M through 5D. Items 5E through 5L. Items 6A through 6E. Items 6F through 7C. Items 7D through 8D. Items 8E through 9B. Okay, we raised a question. I'll just bring this up since I'm the one that raised the question. Related to the development agreement on the 105 acres. Ms. Zelanka, if you're here. I think that's item 8C.
Yes, sir.
Just want to make sure that just want to get you your read on whether we've resolved those issues that we brought up.
Yes,
I need to go into detail, but you feel comfortable with that we've resolved those as it relates to that second development agreement?
Very definitely.
Very definitely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Would you like a little bit
Ms.
more?
Ms. Bronski, do you concur?
I do, Your Honor.
Okay.
We work with the.
Yes.
Yeah, we worked with the developer over the long weekend and came up with some design guidelines. And also, you may notice in here that we, because of the concern about the residential small lot and the quality that council certainly wants to see there, that the site plan will be coming back to council for approval. That's not our normal process anymore. That would stop at P&Z, so council will have the opportunity to see that. And also that the housing master plans that they come forward with will come to council at a study session in addition to going to design review board to get your review and comments on them.
Okay. Thank you.
And
we're not done yet.
We've added, attached to the development agreement, you'll see Exhibit A, or Exhibit B, I think, is actually the design guidelines. And those had been prepared quite a while ago. Made sense to go ahead and add them to the development agreement.
Okay. Oh, wait, there's another and.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Oh,
and. Yes, and also, their developer has made a commitment to preserve 12% for open space and parks, which equates to approximately 12.5 acres, and certainly that will add to the quality of the development.
Okay.
Mr. Wesley, did you have anything else to offer?
I love it. There's all ands and no buts. Thank you.
No buts.
No buts. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Okay. That's it. The next item is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Finter.
Well, not a meeting or conference, but it seemed like quite the event. Friday, we had this major weather event in East Mesa. I don't know how it was on the west side. And personally, I've never seen so much rain and so much water turn Broadway Road into a river. But I wanted to express my appreciation to the folks in the transportation department, the police department, and the fire department, especially in District 2, some really hard-hit areas. But they mobilized a small army and were assisting both on the public roadways and private properties and retention basins, and just amazing positive customer service and feedback. I stopped by at one of the events, and I didn't get 4 feet away from my truck before I was approached by citizens thanking me for the service that the individuals on site did. So just really appreciate all the good work that comes, and we often get, you know, miss those things. But pretty amazing weather and great response by the city workers. So thanks.
Thank you. No, I heard about that. Unfortunately, I got stuck in Flagstaff, couldn't come back down because of the weather. So flew back in, and it was amazing. So, yeah, thanks to everybody. I'm glad you brought that up. Anything else? Yeah, Councilman Higgins.
I actually was not there, but I read about it on Facebook where Mayor and Vice Mayor were attended the Smash Burger grand opening. Did you not do that on Friday?
We did smash away, and it was actually
In their honor, I was out of town. I found a Smash Burger and had ate there just for you all, and showed the group the new Smash Burgers in Mesa, Arizona. They were very excited.
Good.
So yeah, it's great. Another awesome new place to eat in Mesa. I'm excited.
We like it when people invest in.
We do. Mesa. We love it. So, Power McDowell, awesome corner.
Okay, you're treating.
Maybe.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Brady?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, tomorrow, September 11th, 9/11 National Day of Service and the Remembrance. So we're inviting everyone out to a ceremony that begins at 7 a.m. at the Mesa Urban Gardens. And that's located at 212 East 1st Avenue, in which we'll have a ceremony that will begin at 7 a.m. with a moment of silence, and then other activities that will take place as we kind of initiate the activities out in the garden tomorrow.
And that's on 1st Avenue just east of Hibbert, I believe.
Go to the, it would be west of the court building. Yep. So invite everybody there. And then our next study session will be on Thursday, September 13th at 7:30 a.m. Thank you.
Great. And I know we have dozens of people signed up already to help with the work, the service day project. Always can use more hands, and so if there's anyone out there that wants to come down and help build the community garden, we have plenty of things going on. We have 60 cases of drinks and soda donated by the Arizona Beverage Association, which is nice of them, and money donated from a lot of different sources to help us bring this to pass. So it's a great community effort, so thank you. Okay, anything else? We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Richens, a second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.